Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Get expert advice from your friendly healthcare team at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Now, a new show has just opened in the Bord Gáis Energy Theatre called Come From Away, that tells the remarkable true story of how 7,000 passengers were stranded in Newfoundland in the wake of the events of September 11th. Over 300 of those people were passengers on an Aer Lingus flight heading to New York. And this morning we are joined by two of the cabin crew from that flight, Angela Broderick and Adele Campbell. Both very welcome. Thank you for joining us in here in studio. Take me back to that time. Maybe Angela, to you first. When did you join Aer Lingus? You're both still working as cabin crew members.
Yeah, the two of us joined in 97. Seems like a long time ago. Yeah. And I joined at the end of 97. Were you?
I joined in January 97. Yeah.
So we're kind of the one vintage. So we were on our 105 trip to New York and looking forward to a good night in New York.
Yeah.
And then things kind of changed pretty rapidly on our flight. Yeah.
What plans had you made, Adele? You were looking forward to
do a bit of shopping. That's what we usually would do, a bit of shopping, maybe have a manicure, pedicure, and maybe sometimes we'd go out and have a bite to eat or have a glass of wine or whatever, like, you know. So that was generally what we would do. Sometimes I would meet family over there as well, like, you know. But that day.
It big turn in events.
And
Angela, take us back to that moment. The captain comes out of the cockpit and you know, well, there's something up.
Yeah.
What did he say?
Well, we had lovely Derek Bothwell and Shane Hudson was the first officer that day as well. He's now a captain, actually. We were all getting on with our service, bar service and starting our dinner service and, having the banter with the passengers. And then it was unusual, obviously, to see the captain coming down to, you know, call us back in little groups as crew back to the galley. And he explained to us that there was like terrorist activity going on in the New York area, and it was very much like
that stage just limited. The first plane had hit the World Trade Center, so he was down and he just told us that's what's after happening. Like, so he went back then to the flight deck, and then more news filtered down through. He didn't come out again, like, so the cab manager then, the next one hit, and then it was the Pentagon. So
Francis McNeigh was our cab manager.
And
Angela, like, you're getting all of this information, you're trying to process it, makes sense, but you're having to put on a brave face to passengers.
Yeah, it can be tough because inside you're kind of shaky, and on the outside you're trying to be all confident.
It's the graceful swan analogy, isn't it?
Yeah, like, and you don't want like 300 plus people panicking, and we were only in our mid-20s at the time, and
he didn't give, Derek, well, it was such a hard job for Derek, like, he came on and made an announcement, and he told the passengers that there had been terrorist attacks made on the United States and that American airspace had been closed down.
And was that during service, or was that later on?
It was later on. We finished at that stage. Yeah. We were still in the air, like, so obviously we were going to have to divert because we hadn't enough fuel to go back to Dublin. So he didn't tell him exactly what did happen. So, but when we landed in Tugander, then he had to come on and make that announcement, which was hard for him.
Yeah, you'd hear a pin drop in the aircraft.
And again, there was no mobile phones. So to try and comprehend what was happening was...
Had anything prepared you, Angela, in your training with Aer Lingus of what to do in the event of a major global emergency of that nature?
Well, you're always looking for your leader. So obviously the captain would be the main leader, followed by the cabin manager and the seniors. And you just are there for each other as a team. The big teamwork comes into it.
Yeah.
And just trying to be calm. And if you have a question, not to be afraid to ask the cabin manager what we do next, and take your lead from the cabin managers and the captain like that.
Yeah. And Adele, you mentioned this is a time of no mobile phones, really.
No.
But there were two on board. Was that it?
Three, was it?
Yeah, a couple of the business passengers, for sure. But I think maybe one in economy.
Yeah, but there was one man. I can't remember his name. I can remember his face. But he allowed us the use of the phone. So we all got to make a phone call home. I think it was 3 minutes we were given to speak to our families. Now, Aer Lingus had called my family to tell my family where I was. Like, at that time, my mum, like, I wouldn't tell them what I would do in my roster. Like, they might not know where I am, maybe, you know, from one week to the next or whatever. Like, but they called mum and dad and said, listen, Adele is okay. She was on her way to New York, but she's in Gander now and everything's fine. So then we got to make the phone call home, yeah, which was lovely.
And that, like, lovely passenger allowed, like, yeah, all of us as crew, yeah, but not just crew, the other 300 passengers, yeah, to make phone, yeah, calls.
Because at this point you've landed.
Yeah.
You've told the passengers what is actually happening. Mm-hmm. There was one New York lady, I think, on the plane who, yeah, had someone...
In the show, it referenced her, Hannah, and it turned out she had a son, a firefighter. But there was other people who had grandsons, maybe not maybe directly in the New York area, but do you know how all the firefighters came from all sorts, mm-hmm, of boroughs and came in to help? So some of them were quite nervous that their grandsons would have been affected. But it turned out Hannah, whose son was a firefighter, he actually died in the 9/11 attacks.
Which she found out later.
Yeah, mm, yeah, yeah.
And you spent, I think it was 14 hours.
Yeah.
You know, we use this language now, deplane. Mm. You weren't allowed deplane, no, for 14 hours. Mm. Like, how did you entertain people? Were you allowed to serve alcohol, Adele?
No. But we didn't, as an airline, serve alcohol.
No.
We kind of made that decision.
No,
that,
there was,
you know,
no alcohol.
Not the best idea.
No. So it was tea and coffee and biscuits and whatever we had,
yeah,
until we ran out. And I can't, I don't remember being hungry, to be honest with you, but yeah, until we ran out and that was it, like, you know, and...
There's an adrenaline probably,
yeah,
kicked
probably
in anyway.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So we just got on with it. I suppose at, yeah, the time we were young, you know, and...
14 hours is a long time.
It was a long time.
Time.
And I remember they came to after 12 hours and we thought we were getting off then and they told us, no, you're going to have to wait another two. That was really disappointing. Everybody was really like, oh.
The community of Gander, they got a plan together as quick as they could, because they had to make a bit of a plan quite fast. So, they had the Salvation Army and they had, like, the Red Cross. And then eventually when we deplaned, it was like school buses. Mm. And even the show in Borgash mentions there was a strike on with the buses at the time and they just stopped their strike and went straight into emergency mode.
Yeah. And before you did get off the plane after sitting on it for 14 hours on the runway, there was a little bit of violin playing, Angela.
Oh, yeah. Another one of our business passengers was lovely, Woody Harrelson's wife. I can't think of her name now. And their two daughters, their children. Yeah. And they were after learning or beginning to get lessons for the violin. And just to break up the monotony, they started to practice.
No harm, but that is my worst nightmare.
Yeah, and it turned out, it's amazing how people we meet, passengers sort of 6 and 8 months or even a couple of years later. Another colleague of ours, Matthew Monaghan, who's now a purser in British Airways, but he was on a flight, I don't know where he was flying to, but Woody Harrelson was a passenger and he met him. And he said, once the service was over, he went over and said, hi, I think I know your wife from a previous thing. And he said, oh, yeah. So he explained all about the time we spent in Gander. So at the end of that flight, Woody Harrelson got a photo taken with Matthew.
He has Matthew for the
which
photograph.
Which was the opposite way around. Normally his crew asking the celebrity but this time
picture,
Matthew was the celebrity.
Now, so, be honest, Adele, did their violin playing improve over 14 hours of rehearsal?
I don't really remember. I think I blocked it out of my mind, I'm quite honest with you.
So after 14 hours, you get to come off the plane. And as you say, this community had risen up to meet the moment. And I think the population of it was like 10,000. Mm-hmm. Mm. And here you've like dozens and dozens of redirected flights, 7,000 passengers, almost the population of this tiny neighbourhood. Talk about that experience, because you were there for 2-3 days, Angela. Like, what are your abiding memories?
At this stage, during those 14 hours, we kind of had made friends or, you know, acquaintances with our passengers, or more than just passengers. Yeah. We kind of made a relationship with them. And
we went to see them every day.
Yeah.
We put on our name badges and we went down to see how
they
were getting on.
You go and see the passengers.
Yes, every day we went to visit them just to see how things were going and... You know,
they had to be kind of, we had to be able to regroup them fairly quickly.
Yeah.
We never knew which day we were going to be able to leave. So they had to kind of stay within like some of them were in churches. Some of them,
family
a couple
homes.
Of people were taken in by families, like that elderly lady on the flight. She was taken in by a family.
And we had a couple of UMs, underage kids traveling with us, so they'd no parents with them. There was about 2 or 3. Mm. So that like that, they went to families to be looked after, you know.
And so you were particularly conscious of them?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Like, they were only like 12 and 13 probably, they had nobody with them. They were, you know, a UM, underage minor, that, you know, they can travel on their own without a guardian. So we would keep an eye out for them on flights and that, so.
And for those days waiting to get back on the plane, was it a lot of just watching the news, Angela?
Yeah, well, when we eventually got some accommodation, we got a TV. So we kind of sat down and we kind of, some crew wanted to watch it happening, you know, and then others didn't. But actually going back to the flight part during maybe 10 hours into it, the captain got put it on the intercom system. Right. I think it was Dan Rather or somebody like that. Yeah. And that was really kind of a, made it real. Yeah. You know what I mean? When you hear somebody's voice like that presenter, it's like, where were you when 9/11 was happening? Yeah, it was very real when he said that. Like,
And Adele, after 4 days of Gander, it was time to get back on the plane. Had security even started to change by then in terms of like how we think about liquids today? And
not at that stage, no.
But was there extra security?
They had a thing about the sharp objects, obviously. That was a big part of it. So bags were really searched, weren't they? Yeah. Like going back onto the aircraft.
Yeah. No, we didn't get our cases, though.
No.
They remained on the aircraft for the 4 days. Yeah, and that was the same for the passengers as well. So, like that in the show, they show the locals in Gander giving out clothes to our passengers. Remember, there was a Kmart, the only shop in the whole of Gander, so that's where we picked up a few things.
Yeah, like pyjamas and things. But,
And Angela, what surprised me going back and looking at the details of this day was that you didn't then fly to New York. You flew back to
Dublin. Because
everyone
had to be reprocessed back in Dublin before they could kind of like restart their trip, let's say, to get to their final destination, which would have been New York again. Like so,
we had to carry them all home to Dublin.
They brought everybody home and back to Dublin.
And Adele, have you kept in touch with any of those 700 passengers through the years?
The only person, there was a guy from my hometown was on the flight, Sean McNulty. So he's younger than me now, but I meet him every now and then. I don't see him that often. Like, he wouldn't be a personal friend of mine. In actual fact, too, then, while we were on the ground in Gander, like that, you're chatting to all the passengers, you're passing the time, and I got to speak to this young guy, and he was from Donegal as well. It turned out that he was a relative of mine. His dad is my father's first cousin, so I haven't seen that chap since that particular time, but I have bumped into Sean a few times over the years.
I bumped into the man who actually had given the phone to everybody to use, and it turned out Aer Lingus looked after him, and so he was travelling 6 months later with his family. So we had a good chat.
And Angela, is it strange to have gone back, seen this story now on stage?
Well,
does it feel
like you said,
true?
Were we prepared for it? There's no real preparation anybody can give you for that. But I suppose we just looked out for each other. And then, like I said, we saw the worst of people that day. But then in the people in Gander, we saw the best.
Yeah.
And it was amazing. It's just kind of where you kind of thought there was no hope. Then they gave hope to everybody, how they came together as a community, and their kindness, their generosity. They never even blinked. You know what I mean? They were working day and night to keep the whole 7,000 extra people going. So,
And for you, Adele, what's the insight? What's the learning now as you reflect back on that time?
It was a special time, and I'm still good friends with Angela, you know, and we always have that bond every time we meet each other, you know, that we went through that to get together, like, you know.
We were talking about going to see the show when it came out first in New York.
We'd all these
Broadway
plans.
And then we said, no, we'll go to the West End. But we were thrilled when it came to Dublin and it's back again in Dublin. So we're really happy. And
we saw it at home in Dublin.
Some of our family and friends are still going to see it next week.
Okay,
well, recommend it.
Thank you for coming in and telling us that story and reflecting on a massive moment in time in both of your lives, Angela Broderick and Adele Campbell. Thank you for that.